99.9 FM W260 CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Matt Piper in Des Moines, Iowa. Donald Trump on top, Ron DeSantis in second. It was a quick night for Trump as CBS News projected him the winner of the Iowa caucus within 30 minutes. But for second, it was a toss-up for a while between Nikki Haley and DeSantis.
We've got our ticket punched out of Iowa.
I want to congratulate Ron and Nikki for having a good time together. We're all having a good time together. And I think they both actually did very well.
Most Iowa caucus goers largely dismissed Trump's legal woes, with most saying he would still be fit for the presidency even if he were convicted of a crime. I'm Matt Piper in Iowa. Now with more CBS News, here's Deborah Rodriguez.
The fourth place finisher, Vivek Ramaswamy, has dropped out.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
He's endorsed Donald Trump for president. The three finishers move on to New Hampshire, which holds the nation's first primary a week from today. Elections expert Amy Dacey says Mr. Trump may have a leg up there.
The former party chair in New Hampshire is actually who he chose to oversee his campaign operations. So what kind of infrastructure he had designed in there to see, you know, if he's going to have a strong showing or not.
Mr. Trump will be in New York today for the start of his second defamation trial involving the writer E. Jean Carroll. She claims he sexually assaulted her in a department store dressing room. Bitter cold and snow are sweeping the country. Wind and ice have knocked out electricity to more than 100 million customers, most of them in Oregon. Portland General Electric's John Farmer says there's no easy fix.
These are power lines that are wrapped around trees and branches that need to be disentangled and pulled apart.
Wind chills in the plains in the Midwest have reached 20 below. Snow is moving through the Northeast and New England right now. In the Middle East, U.S. Central Command says it's blocked a shipment of advanced conventional weapons from Iran to Yemen's Houthi rebels. A statement says it's the first seizure since the Houthis began attacking merchant ships in November. At last night's TV awards in Los Angeles.
And the Emmy goes to Succession.
Logan Roy and his clan snagged Best Drama and three top acting awards. The Bear won Best Comedy Series. It starred Jeremy Allen White, Best Actor.
I love the show so much. It filled me up. It gave me a passionate set of fire in me.
Three black women won major awards on the Fox show, among them Keinta Brunson for Abbott Elementary and Niecy Nash-Betts for Dahmer, Monster. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin have had to endure the coldest weather of the winter so far without power to heat their homes and businesses. Most of the outages are in southeast Wisconsin, where We Energy says it expects to have all the power back on by midday Tuesday. Arctic air is forecasted to keep highs in the single digits through Tuesday. A bipartisan bill would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana. Under the bill, anyone with less than 14 grams would not face criminal charges but would have to pay a $100 fine. It would also lower the penalties for being caught a second time. Several Wisconsin cities have already decriminalized possessing small amounts of marijuana. Assembly Republicans introduced a bill to legalize medical marijuana last week. I'm Nate Wiggehow, Civic Media News.
Marquette gets a W. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After back-to-back losses, the Marquette Golden Eagles beat Villanova. Final score 87-74. Head coach Shaka Smart says, easier said than done.
I mean, Villanova's got grown men. They got like eight seniors. Toughness, physicality. There's nobody on their team where you can hide a guy in a matchup.
Marquette heads to St. John's on Saturday. Big Ten, number 15th ranked Wisconsin takes on Penn State on the road. NBA, it's the Bucks in Cleveland tomorrow night to kick off off a three-game road trip. NFL, the Packers face the 49ers Saturday night at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Kickoff at 7:15. I asked right guard John Runyon about the growth of quarterback Jordan Love.
Unbelievable. Just how much he's grown, dude. I think we've won 8 of the last 11 games, and he's really just starting to flourish, feels comfortable. This is his offense, his team, and he's going to keep going, keep pushing, and on to San Francisco now.
That's Packers right guard John Runyon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is brutally cold out there this morning. We have a wind chill advisory in effect today through tonight. The wind chill hovering between minus 25 and minus 30 here for a good chunk of the day. Windy, partly to mostly cloudy, 2 above for an actual high today. 1 below tonight, some light snow, 14 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 5 below.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I think you should buckle your seatbelt, but I feel bad for the people in the back seat. They always seem like they're less important than people in the front. You ever watch, like, four people get in the car? People in the back just sitting there. No. People in the front are, like, buckling up like they're going out of the atmosphere. You know, click, click, clickety, click, 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 click. People in the back going, hey, what's going on up there? It don't matter, you're in the back. Your belts are squished down in those seats anyway. You'll never find them. Hey, wait a second. Don't start the car. You're trying to pull them out. Give me a rope or something. You know what I hate? When you're driving and you pick up a friend and they get in and they don't buckle their seatbelt up, like, right away, but they will, like, 10 minutes into the drive after you have some goofy turn. Without saying to you, they'll just, you know, pull that belt down. You got a problem all of a sudden? So what I do, as they're looking down, I go,
in the 60s right now. It's 7:07 at WRJN Radio. Jim Messier and Carol G and Forte are here. And we're talking about winter. Would have been better if we talked about summer. But we're talking about winter in the 50s and 60s and how apropos when it's so cold outside. And this is a program that Carol and Jim are going to do eventually at the Golden Rondale Theater. So it's kind of a sneak preview for us. Hey, thank you guys for coming in this morning.
Don, thank you.
Pleasure.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
And thank you for bringing so many guests in.
Thank you. Okay, so we're remembering winter in the 50s and 60s here in Racine. We're all kids outside. We even love snow. I was in New York at the time, which, you know, we got snow, but never got this cold. I mean, we got to 10 degrees and stuff. We never really got below zero a lot. So what were you guys doing in Racine when it was winter?
Well, after thanking you, Don, yes, we were outside. We loved being outside, but we want to thank you especially for letting us share these pleasant memories. Jim, we have pleasant memories, don't we?
Oh, all the time. Oh, absolutely. Well, yes, we were outside constantly, even into our teens, compared to often complaining about the winter weather today. Now, I can still visualize all those high white snow banks that we used to have back when we used to have snow. Racine was a very safe place to be. We walked everywhere, even after dark.
And we had fewer reasons to stay inside. You know, my family, we didn't have a TV till I was in third grade. We had one telephone. People didn't hang on the phone. And, of course, the weather cooperated. We do remember high snow banks. I also discovered something just this morning. I asked Siri on my phone, when did wind chills come into the forecast? So I have to say, I think ignorance was bliss. Because lo and behold, according to Siri, we didn't even have wind chills in the forecast.
Oh, you had them. You should know it.
1973.
Yeah. Yeah, they were always there. Wind chills were here since
we didn't know it.
Wind chills were here since the beginning of time. You just didn't
we
know
didn't, it. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. So, and Racine promoted being outside. They helped us kids. We've done some investigating about all the neighborhood ice skating rinks we had. We had the tobogganing, sledding. But we had our very own backyard fun.
Just keep going. This is, you know, tell us about some of the outdoor activities everyone enjoyed as kids.
I think the most popular outdoor activity when we were kids was, of course, ice skating. You know what, Don? At one time, the city had 19 ice skating rinks. 19 of them. And I don't think we have any right now. Most were just neighborhood rinks. The rink that I went to all the time was Jerome Park. I think they call that Case Harmon Park now. North of Durand, near the infamous Seeker Motel. But that's where I used to go.
Is that where it was?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. That was on the south side. And when we decided to go, we would call our friends. Remember, we used a telephone, of course, but we just sometimes walk to the back door and I would yell out, "Oh, Tony," for a friend of mine, Tony Cachero. That's how we used to do it back then. We'd just yell at our back doors and they'd come out and we'd often get a ride to the ice skating rink by our parents. They took turns. But we usually went on a Saturday or, of course, after school. Others on the south side that I remember were Humble Park on 21st Street, Green Quest Park near St. Lucie's, Lathrop Park, which is now Solbra. There was one behind Knapp School. Roosevelt Park had a nice one right by the lake, and there was one on 21st and Ohio.
Now, I was on the north side, Jim. So Albert and State was mine, just a few blocks away. So, I remember walking there in the dark and usually on my skates.
How do you walk on skates?
Very gingerly.
Oh, yeah.
Hard on the ankles. Then there was one behind the Labor Center over by Horlick, and then one at Marquette Street Park by the fire station, and also Matson Park up on South Street.
Mm-hmm. West Side had a couple of them, too. Harvey Park, which was located on Blaine Avenue, and, of course, Graceland Park, which is now Lockwood. That's the one with that huge sledding hill.
Now, back to Harvey Park. I have to say, such a small world, and going back with anecdotes, two of my very good friends, Alice and Chuck Fromm, they met on January 3rd because Alice was ice skating at Harvey Park on her dad's birthday, January 3rd, 1956. She was 15, they were 18. They made a date to go to park that Friday night, and they are a dear married couple since meeting at Harvey Park, January 3rd, 1956. Now, what we did, like I mentioned, we would walk to the rink on our skates, or if we walked and wanted to leave our shoes and boots outside on the rink, as we said, Racine was safe. There wasn't a thought to losing anything.
Are you talking about single blade skates?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You're talking about a guy who never skated in his life. I never put on a pair of ice skates. I don't know how to ice skate. I don't know anything about that. But I can't imagine walking on single blade. Now, I've seen double-bladed skates.
Yeah, no, these were single.
I don't know how you walk.
Well, anyway, let me tell you, I'm not the greatest athlete in the world. But if I could do it, you could have done it.
No, mm-hmm. No.
It's never too late, though.
No, I tried it once. I tried to do, and my legs were going each way. You know,
so you didn't skate at Radio City Music Hall?
No. You mean Prometheus in front of Rockefeller Center?
Yeah.
No.
That wasn't you in those TV commercials or anything?
No. I couldn't do it. My daughter's a good ice skater and a roller skater. Yes.
And she's in Florida. Well, maybe she goes indoors now.
No, she was here when she... This
sure,
is moved to Florida,
course,
as a kid.
But I mean, now okay. She can't.
Yeah, we used to go to different ice skating rinks, like in Germantown. They had a nice outdoor rink. And she used to go there all the time and skate well. I mean, she's natural.
Good for her.
She could do it backwards, forwards.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
She didn't get it from you then.
No. She didn't get it from her mother either.
About our parents dropping us off, the only problem with that was there would be set times because we didn't have cell phones. So if it got colder or your friends were already leaving, you just had to wait till your parents' time to pick you up. And where do we buy all these skates, Jim?
Well, we bought our skates at those sporting goods stores in Racine. I can think of Dixon's downtown, Devine's on Douglas, Higgins in West Racine. And for us guys, we always bought the hockey skates. And we older boys often played hockey at the big rinks like Lathrop Park. And sorry to say that we took over those rinks trying to play hockey. Us guys from St. Cat's from 1965, we usually just pushed the smaller kids out of the way, I'm sorry to say, but that's how it was. Now, does anybody remember cracking the whip? It could be very, very dangerous. One guy would start in the center, and then everybody would hold or lock arms, pretty soon there's about 5 or maybe 10 people spinning around like 90 miles an hour, and if that last person let go for some reason, he was seen crashing into a snowbank, like I said, maybe about 90 miles an hour. There were a few injuries, I'm sure.
Oh, sounds like fun.
A
couple of broken arms, broken legs.
We should do that again, Carol.
Smash noses.
Sounds
like a good time.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time for a confession that, yes, I did some ice skating, but to be a great skater or to be outside for the rest of our activities we're going to mention, what could I call myself, a scaredy cat? I was very, very gingerly doing sports outside, but I could walk the snowbanks. I could do that. Also, walking to these two major rinks. We mentioned the neighborhood ones, but there were two that were just major.
They stood out.
Mm-hmm. So we could take the bus, too, because we were all like, what would you say, second, third grade, taking the buses, red line, green line.
Yep.
Or again, our parents dropped us off. But the ultimate, the most popular, most beautiful, was the Zoo Pond. And I think whether we realized it or not...
Right there on Main Street?
Yep.
Okay.
By the zoo.
And there are photos around in the archives to show beautiful skating on Zoo Pond. You can just imagine. I think, like I said, whether we realized it or not, we were in the most beautiful setting. And there were hundreds of kids there, including parents would come. So it was the ideal place. Also, now, the Zoo Pond had a warming house. We were grateful. There was hot chocolate there. You could get your skate sharpened. But what about that warming house? It was under the zoo animal building. So we were relatively close to the lions, but we were close to the smell of the lions.
Mm-hmm.
The odors were really something wafting along with our hot chocolate.
That's one thing we always remember about skating at the zoo.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the lions just say, wait a second, they're skating. I smell dinner.
Another great park was Washington Park Skating Rink. That was Racine's largest. Now, they could accommodate hundreds of skaters. It was enormous. It was well-lit. Had a nice brick warming house, and it was filled with our shoes. We would just leave there, like Carol said, never had any problems. Unfortunately, skating stopped there when that area was converted to softball fields many years ago. Some of us even skated on the Root River, which could be very dangerous. One thing you had to listen for was the cracking of the ice, and if you heard a cracking sound, you hightailed it off that river.
We came up with the phrase, when winter was winter. And as Jim and I were going over some things we could say today, it was raining here at Christmas. Now we realize how timely this program is today.
Hold on a second. We're talking to Jim Basir and Carol Jean Forte. Winters in Wisconsin. Winters in Racine in the 40s and the 50s. More coming up in just a moment. 719 at WRJN. Hometown Radio Refreshed.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test, fix, save a life.
sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights, his leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more. He led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
At WRJN Radio. Good morning. It's cold. Bundle up. We're talking about winter in Wisconsin, actually winter in Racine, with Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier. This is going to be a program you guys are going to put together at the Golden Rondel in 2 years, right?
Something like that.
Two years!
I know, it's hard to believe, but it'll go fast.
Takes time.
Maybe you'll do it in June or July, you know, when it won't seem as bad. And we're talking about all the things people did in Racine, from ice skating and so forth, all through the years and winters in the 50s and 60s. But I'll bet you went sledding, maybe tobogganing, right?
Oh, absolutely. We had a fantastic toboggan slide at Washington Park, Don. That was built in the 30s by the WPA. It lasted to about 1982. So all through the 50s and 60s, we could enjoy that. Eventually, it was starting to deteriorate. There was liability issues, and it was probably just too expensive to replace. So they took it away from us. But it was located in a wooded area, roughly across from the old Capitol Theater and east of there. It was actually just a very long, steep concrete chute. It had a level platform at the top, and the operator would tilt it by pulling a lever, and down you went. But you had to keep your arms and knees inside. Otherwise, it would scrape along the side of the chute. I still have a scar on my leg to prove that.
Mm-hmm. Can we see?
Oh, yes.
No.
This thing is radio, not TV.
That's safe for the next in-person show. Okay.
But I remember as kids, we went screaming all the way down. I mean, we were scared to death going down, but it was a heck of a lot of fun. And your fun continued when you reached the bottom because it was a long stretch of ice. So we continued going for another, it seemed like another mile or so. However, climbing up was a different thing. You had to climb those stairs, and we were told there were 98 steps. And imagine that with a heavy toboggan. The toboggan we had was probably about 6 feet tall, 6 feet long, and could accommodate, maybe three people. But you had to lug that thing all the way up from the top. It would fit in our car, of course, from the front to the back of the car. I took a walk there a couple days ago, and I found no evidence that even existed. There was just no signs of it anymore.
What's the difference? A toboggan has that curved top to it, right? Is that the difference
between
a sled and a toboggan?
Curve, right.
Yeah, curved front.
Yeah.
All right. So it softens the impact.
I guess so.
All right, now.
I was talking to my friend Barb Walker, who at 19 had just one experience at Washington Park Toboggan Gym. She drove there in her convertible so that the toboggan would easily get her there, get there.
Oh.
But she and her friends, they were unaware of how you had to keep your knees in.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
It ended up with a hospital visit.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
She still likes the story, her one time going down the toboggan.
Mm-hmm. Right, here's my sledding story.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I grew up in Long Island, and at Bethpage State Park, they had the big hill, and it was a huge hill. And every year during winter, we used to go there and go take our sleds down there. And I must have been about 7 years old, 6 years old. And my mother was laying down on the sled, and my father gave her a push and then jumped on top of her. She was laying down flat, smashed her face into the metal part of the sled at the beginning. He didn't know what she was wearing. She was wearing sunglasses, and the glasses were glass back then. And she was bleeding, but he couldn't see it. And they ran into a tree because she wasn't controlling the controls.
Oh,
she was. So she stopped, and she got up, and I remember seeing that her face was all red.
Oh, no.
This is the blood dripping. And we took her to the hospital, and that was back in the early 60s. When she was 92, she still had the scar going across
to prove it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, we always said to my father years later, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Jumping on top of her, going down a hill. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a big guy back then. He was now, he was through, you know, it was later years. But what was going through your head? And then smashed her and didn't know about it. Didn't know she was hurt.
Rosen family lore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a true story, though. Yeah. Oh. And she had the scar to prove it, just like your leg.
Yeah, right.
Well, and now I have to remind myself, but on the north side, we had for tobogganing Johnson Park. Again, true confessions, I never went on a toboggan slide, but it was less dangerous, I've learned, because it was not as steep. And it was metal, not concrete. But still, we didn't even know such a thing as helmets existed.
Mm-hmm.
We were out there.
Just having fun. That's
just
right.
Just having fun.
Yep. Another toboggan slide was located at Petterfine Springs, or PETS as we know it. Also concrete, but it was very hard to find. It was right in the middle of the woods. I remember when it was dismantled many years ago, I found the heavy concrete sections lying in the Pike Creek at PETS. And we were just there last year hiking and with the grandkids, and we found the abutments of what used to be that old toboggan slide.
Kind of, isn't that depressing to go see your childhood all laying there in pieces?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, that's right.
But kind of fascinating, too, to see that you're looking for those remnants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That, like, they really existed or no trace.
Yep.
Well, sledding was a kid's delight, and that was so easy because we had hills all throughout Racine, and we found them. So just thinking back a little bit, some of our hills, McKinley School, North Beach, Shoup Golf Course, Johnson Park, Lincoln Park, Racine Country Club, Reservoir Park over on Maryland Avenue, Graceland Park, now Lockwood, and the biggest hill, not right in Racine, but Petrifying Springs. And then there was sledding at Herrick Avenue, which was dangerous because that was coming down a road and it was very steep. But I was glad to have my own miniature hill. In my block on Carlisle Avenue, there were about 5 or 6 steps from a sidewalk that would go up toward the houses. So that was just fine, probably starting at age 2 to maybe 5, just walk out the door, and I was down that hill in probably 10 seconds. But it was easy. You could go up 5 steps and start again. And, Jim, I think there were some other dangerous places.
Yeah, for sledding, for the foolhardy, there were some dangerous gullies, actually not too far from our toboggan slide, just more towards Washington Avenue. There was one gully called the Suicide Gully, and that's pretty much described how it was. You would literally be going through gullies, and there's trees within just a few feet of you. But, like I said, that was on the same hill as our toboggan slide. I know the city pretty much closed them off eventually, but now they're pretty much grown over by trees. But you actually took your life in your hands if you went down that gully.
Coming up, we're going to talk about ski jumps. I never knew there was a ski jump around here. And it's still there, you said. We can see. We're going to talk about this coming. I've got to tease people here. So we're going to talk about that, a ski jump in Racine. Mm-hmm. You ever go on it, by the way?
No.
No? Yeah.
But it wasn't Olympic height or anything.
No.
I didn't think so. On the wide world of sports.
We didn't quite make that.
All right, that's coming up. We're talking about winters in Racine in the 50s and 60s with Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier. And more coming up in just a moment at 729 at WRJN Hometown Radio Refreshed at 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. Stay right where we are.
Talking.
in sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
CBS News Special Report, the Iowa caucuses.
The winner by an early landslide, Donald Trump.
We want to thank the great people of Iowa. Thank you. We love you all. What a turnout, what a crowd.
He got 51% of the Republican vote. Ron DeSantis squeaked past Nikki Haley to take a distant second place. Vivek Ramaswamy dropped out after finishing fourth and promptly endorsing Donald Trump.
I congratulate him on his victory. And now going forward, he will have my full endorsement for the presidency. And I think we're going to do the right thing for this country.
Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is in Des Moines.
Last night, President Biden acknowledged Trump's win in a fundraising appeal, hoping to build on the record $97 million his reelection campaign and Democrats took in the fourth quarter.
Next stop for the candidates, New Hampshire. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are to be put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. Public health experts say misinformation is contributing to a dangerous decline in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Dr. Monica Wang is with Boston University's School of Public Health. She says lies about vaccines spread faster than the truth.
Health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
At the same time, cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
It is brutally cold out there this morning. We have a wind chill advisory in effect today through tonight. The wind chill hovering between minus 25 and minus 30 here for a good chunk of the day. Windy, partly to mostly cloudy, 2 above for an actual high today. 1 below tonight, some light snow, 14 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 5 below.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15. With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Looking for lab-grown diamonds? Robert Hack Diamonds sells them at crazy prices. How about 2-carat total weight diamond studs for $999? Robert Hack Diamonds can get any size, shape, or clarity in natural or lab-grown diamonds. Don't buy until you call Robert Hack Diamonds. $999 for a pair of 2-carat diamond studs? Wow. Robert Hack Diamonds in both Greenfield and Brookfield.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Monday nights at 7 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
float high 'neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it
735 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio refreshed. And this morning we have Carol Gianforte and Jim Nasir in here. We're talking about growing up in the 50s and the 60s in winter in Wisconsin. And you both say you both remember your moms pulling you on sleds, Jim during the daylight, Carol at night. This is when you were in their 40s, right?
Yeah.
Your mothers were still pulling.
They were amazing women.
Yeah, they were in their 80s and still pulling you on a sled. Yeah,
we were tough in those days.
Good exercise for them, yeah.
Well, Christmas was really predictable because we had to have radio flyer sleds. And maybe we pass them down from brother to sister, but still, we had, can you imagine the sales of the sleds, Jim? Mm-hmm. And
boy.
Dixon's and Higgins and Devine's, they must have been stacking up like crazy.
Yep.
But besides sledding on those hills, I do have such a sentimental picture in my mind of my mother pulling me, and then I know you have a story, Jim. But at night, and I think maybe she did this half a dozen times, would I have been, to remember it like I do, 4 or 5 years old even? But we would go down the couple blocks of Carlisle with the beautiful milk glass globes shining down the center of the boulevard, maybe a light snow falling, and that diamond crystal kind of look in the air and on the ground. She would pull me those 2 blocks down to State Street, and then we would go left because for one destination, the bookmobile was in front of Lincoln Bakery, and it was warm and cozy inside, and then we'd go home. I'm trying to think what we did with the books, but she must have been so prepared. And I think she was the tiniest person, and to do that with me, it's left me a memory 70 years, still vivid.
Well, my story involves my mother pulling my sister and I. I was probably maybe 4 years old, and my sister Kathy was 3. And my mother was pulling us to our grandmother's house about 6 blocks away. This was during winter, just after a storm, a snowstorm. And we were actually on Kearney Avenue. So she was pulling the sled on Kearney Avenue. Well, halfway there, I fell off the back. And I didn't say anything. I just sat there on the street and just, just looking around, I guess. My sister turned around, saw me, and didn't say anything either. She probably thought, well, here's my chance to get rid of him. And my mother, of course, was going the other direction, so she didn't see me there. Well, about a half a block later, a garbage man yells out, "Hey, lady, you lost one."
So. I'm so glad she retrieved you, Jim.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. Yeah, it's but Don had mentioned about the ski jump. Yes, there was one at Washington Park. It was actually close to Washington Avenue, right in the middle of the woods. It was built in the late 50s, but it was dismantled around 1968. And again, I couldn't find any signs of it ever being there, so that's long gone.
But you said you can still see it, though?
No, not anymore. You can't see it.
There's nothing.
They dismantled that back in 68, I believe.
And we're not talking about the agony of defeat, the wide roller sports dice.
No. No. It was quite small.
Again, I think we're emphasizing how safe Racine was, though, crime-wise. How we could get around as kids. Yes, maybe our parents were driving us, but the bus and walking everywhere and giving us these extra pleasant memories that we just love to resurrect. Well, Racine did not have actual skiing, but I have to tell you my story. It's kind of like the Rosen lore. My friend Karen from grade school, and we're still very close friends, and I can tell you ahead of time, Karen is an athlete, was an athlete. She went on to bigger and better things, and this was close to the end of my skiing experience. But we were in junior high, never had skied, and her dad, very athletic, was ready to go to Alpine. So I got this phone call And against my better judgment, I said, yeah, let's go to Alpine. So Karen and I spend our time on the rope tow. She got it right away, and I struggled, of course. But now it was that feel in the air of the afternoon was starting to have some shadows, and it was people, you know, kind of maybe already leaving a little bit. We hadn't seen her dad. He was off on the bigger slopes. So we had this brilliant idea. Well, this was the end of the season. We should ride the chairlift so we could see the view from the top. So we get on the chairlift, only to realize it didn't come down. We had to ski down. It dumped us off at the top. There we were, looking down this enormous slope, kind of like we were in Vail or Europe. We did not know what to do. But lo and behold, just off to the left was a woods. So we picked the woods.
Well, you could have waited until spring and walked down the hill.
Oh, it was sheer panic.
Oh.
So we made our way down through the woods without breaking any bones. And as I said, Karen went on to bigger and better things. She was undaunted. But I didn't do a lot of skiing. Did make it to Colorado once or twice in my life. But we will always remember the folklore of Alpine.
Hmm. Where was that again, Alpine?
That's near East Troy.
Yeah. Oh, Alpine Valley. Alpine Valley. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem I've always found with those ski lifts are you always see on the news how they get stuck and they need a fire engine to take them down.
Wouldn't that be terrible? Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do anything where there's an ambulance waiting at the bottom of the hill, standing by for further instruction.
Yep.
Oh.
But we had snow days back then as well, and as we know, they were the best. We would always tune in to WRJN, and at that time WRAC, in the morning, with anticipation, of course, waiting for that announcement. And once we heard that announcement, man, we just went outside as soon as we could. We call our friends on the phone or go to the back doors and knock there again or whatever, but we had to get outside. And I remember this was mostly a guy thing, but we built a lot of snow forts. And these were elaborate snow forts. We could withstand an army, I think. And then at night, what we would do, we would pour water on it, so the next day it would freeze and would be like concrete. And remember all the snowball fights as kids? Don, I'm sure you had snowball fights back then, too.
Yeah, especially when they used to soak the snow in water, let it freeze, and give you a concussion with that snowball.
Such a nice young boy.
Oh, yeah. Boy, yeah. But I'm sorry to admit that in many cases we would throw snowballs at cars and then hide in the bushes. And one time we did that at a church rectory, and the guy actually stopped, chased us to the rectory. And, of course, the priest said, "Did you boys do that?" And, of course, we denied it. And then the guy was so upset, he just shook his head saying, "Imagine that, lying to a priest."
Jim. Have you gone to confession?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Remember the snow caves we used to make back when the snow piled up in front of our house? Mm-hmm. We would actually, they were probably maybe 4 feet tall. The snow banks, we would dig caves out in them, but you had to keep one eye out for snow plows because during the daytime, they would just come barreling along. And if you were inside that snow cave, I mean, it was your tough luck.
I made those in my backyard, but I was always, when I got in there, it got claustrophobic because what if it caved in on me?
Oh. A cave caving in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Huh. Well, it was easy to build snowmen. Frosty the Snowman was with us as an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
And we would try our hardest for the three sizes and so forth. I never got to take part in a huge one, but I think your wife Lynn did.
Yes, my wife Lynn had an interesting story when she was kids growing up on the north side. They wanted to get their picture in the Journal Times by building a massive 8-foot snowman. And, of course, that was an easy thing to do, or so they thought. They spent hours rolling the snowball. It got to about 4 feet, I understand, and it was parked in somebody's driveway. They called for reinforcements, but they couldn't even budget, so they just left it there. And then, of course, when the owner of the house came, Can you imagine coming into his driveway with this massive snowball there? Well, he couldn't even get into his driveways then. He was not too happy. Eventually, he had to take an axe, my wife was telling me, and destroy that giant snowball.
So they didn't make it into the paper?
No, unfortunately not. But
well, now this next one that we were thinking about, especially for girls, we would lie right down in the snow and make snow angels. And we would look up at the snow falling, let it go in our mouths. Now, doesn't that make me feel very, very old? I mean, I cannot imagine now, today, saying, oh, I'm going to make a snow angel today.
Well, Jim, why don't you just push her down in our front yard here at the radio station?
Do that. Yeah.
Just say,
yeah.
Oh, Carol, look over there and push her. And she can make a snow angel trying to get up.
Just to think of delighting in snow that much, to just lie right down in it and love it.
Yeah, get your picture in the paper if you did that today.
Oh, my goodness. And then another thing that we would use kind of as a challenge was eating icicles. Now, we had a problem over on Carlisle Avenue because as beautiful a street as it was, the whole neighborhood so nice, we were near Bell City. And those icicles and the snow, at times with the right wind direction, had little black specks in them. So I do remember some mothers saying, don't eat the icicles because that was soot in them. You know? Mm-hmm. But how we would break them off,
with no flavor. That's right. And of course, we did skitching back then. If you know what that is, I'm sure, Don, you remember skitching.
Never did it.
You never did it?
That's when you hook yourself onto the back of a bus or a car. And
Yes.
No, I never did it. My mother didn't let me do any of that stuff.
Well, you didn't tell your mother.
She wouldn't let me. I was so terrified of doing anything. She wouldn't let me play sports in high school. I was going to get hurt. She never let me do anything.
Yep. The best time to go skitching is when you saw a city or a school bus go by, or a delivery truck, UPS or whatever. You'd wait by a stop sign, and then, of course, you'd hitch a ride on the back. I wouldn't do it by in front of or in back of a car because they could see you, and they would object to that for some reason. I don't know why.
You were some juvenile delinquent. I know these stories.
This is
here.
Coming out, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Is there any statute of limitations on these that you did?
Doing things at
Lock
the rectory and
right.
skitching.
My gosh, yes, I know it. But
now, how about the fumes with skitching?
It didn't bother us for some reason. We didn't.
But there were fumes, weren't there?
Yeah, but it didn't.
Curtail your...
No, fun was fun. You know, we had a... took preference over anything.
I remember maybe like walking home from Horlick or Washington Junior High and seeing guys go by skitching. Not many, but, you know, there were they going over the ice-packed streets. And I know that... now, my friends Arlene and Dominic LaPiccolo, I had learned some time ago that Dominic and his late friend Steve Rock, they wouldn't start out in front of Sacred Heart, like a rectory, but they would walk over to Carlisle and Summit and Kewaunee and start there, skitching.
Mm-hmm.
But Dominic, I understand, was partial to Marigold and Progressive Dairy Trucks, and exactly why, I'm not sure. But I do have to smile when I realize that Dom became a well-known police officer.
And of course we shoveled a lot back then. I remember kids coming around, you know, looking for a few bucks to make. Of course back then it was probably a quarter or 50 cents, but I remember many kids coming around, can we shovel your driveway for say 50 cents? And and of course we would shovel ourselves when we were older. You remember smelling the coal furnaces back then? Everybody had a coal furnace, I think, and that smell was just very, very unique. I miss that to this day.
Back on the shoveling, now they come by and they say, we'll do it, and you know, they want 10 or 20 bucks, but I got news for you. If you're an older person and you can't shovel a lot of snow, it's worth it. 10, 20 bucks, they'll shovel everything. The kids come out with the shovels on their shoulders. They still do it, and they want to make a buck, and they do a good job. Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier are here talking about winters in Racine. More coming up in just a moment. 729, I make it 749. Talk about getting old. 749 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio, refreshed to civic media station.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights, his leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more. He led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
It's 7:50 at WRJN Radio, and we're talking about winters in Racine back in the 1950s and 1960s with two people that lived it. Jim Messier and Carol T. and Forte are here, and where do we leave off with you guys here?
Well, it's time to get into the clothing that we had.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Being outdoors all this time, it amazes me, but just like the wind chill factor, that became, I guess, a thing in 1973. We didn't know that clothing was going to come with Gore-Tex and North Face and Columbia and all these things. So mainly we had a lot of homemade mittens. Maybe we went to Penny's or Zahn's, the sporting goods stores, and got things. But Christmas, again, all these mothers and grandmothers, they were knitting and crocheting mittens. We had to have a lot of them because they wore out fast, but mm-hmm, we had mm-hmm. those little clips. Remember mm-hmm. those clips on our jackets?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Or those strings that went right through.
So you didn't lose them.
Yes, you didn't lose them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, they got wet so fast. And we were used to face scarves. Those would be handmade, too. Even in the fall, actually, moms and daughters were wearing headscarves. And many of us went to Zahn's, as an aside here, for Christmas and had our picture taken in our era with the Zahn's Santa Claus. And when I wrote a story about this years ago and had my picture used in the paper from the 1950s sitting on Santa Claus's lap, didn't I have a headscarf on? Right inside the store. So we were used to face and head scarves. How about the boys?
Oh, the boys had those caps with the flaps over the ears. I remember them very well.
Mutlucks? What are they called?
Those are feet.
Yeah. Oh, they're feet. Okay. Yeah. Shows you what I know.
snow pants. We all had snow pants. Mm-hmm. I remember those big, heavy boots we had, those rubber boots with the buckles on them. You had to mm-hmm. buckle them all the way up. It took forever to do that.
Mm-hmm. I just loved the story about my husband John's dad and the boots with buckles. I think he could be quite, call it, the rascal. And so one of our family lore things is he was banished to the cloakroom. I don't know what grade he was in, say maybe sixth grade or so. And he had no trouble, you know, those wet floors of the cloakrooms with all the coats drying and dripping. Mm-hmm. Well, he spent his banishment time with those boots, and he buckled all of them together, not in pairs. So can you imagine when school was out and everybody went to get their boots, they were all buckled to the wrong pairs.
Boy.
I picture Jim looking like that kid from Christmas Story. Remember the kid with the coat? He couldn't get his arms down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
And I remember, too, with these clothes, going on and on about our clothes, but our kitchen on Carlisle had registers, heat registers. And I had a little stool that I would sit next to the heat register talking to my mom, maybe reading a book or something. But I would have to compete with the warm air coming out of that register, because that's where we hung the mittens and the socks. But then people not having clothes dryers, the basements had to have clotheslines.
Oh, sure.
Where our heavy, wet clothes had to dry for the night.
That's right. And eventually we came inside. We were either cold or hungry or whatever, but we would come inside for a break. I remember my mother using, remember Bosco or Cocoa Marsh? It's similar to Hershey's syrup, but she would warm up some milk and put that in there for a hot hot chocolate drink.
The Cocoa Marsh Lion was on there.
Yes, the Lion. That's
Lion
right.
Lion was on there.
Yes.
Amazing what is remembered.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And then, of course, I remember the Hostess Snowballs. How fitting, huh? Twinkies, Hostess Cupcakes. You know, all that good, healthy stuff for you that we ate back then.
Oh.
Well, look how we turned out, though. Yeah, we turned out okay.
Overweight.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well, and then, of course, we had such a variety of bread here in town because we loved our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So it's fun to even remember the wrappers and the slogans.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Bread. Did that start out eight bodies and then it went to 12?
Builds bodies 12 strong ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, but first I think it was seven or eight, wasn't it? Then
they found some additional improvements.
Yeah. 12 ways, that's right.
And then you've said, Jim, that Mrs. Carl's and Butternut were from Kenosha. And
well, they're from Milwaukee, I think.
From Milwaukee?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they bought out Kappas, if I'm not mistaken.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, Kappas was our wonderful, wonderful big bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think those wrappers were diamond shapes?
I think
color?
So. Yeah.
Diamond?
Red and white? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we had, we had our peanut butter and jelly, but whenever you say the word Kappas, you have to say, coming down 16th Street. Was it a block or two blocks away? You could smell the glazed donuts.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
yes,
I never tasted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my life.
You never did?
I guess we have to bring you one.
No, don't even attempt it. No, I'm not going to eat it.
It doesn't appeal to you.
Nope.
We
had it in our house all the time. My brother ate nothing but peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. My wife eats them. I just won't touch them.
Is it the peanut butter itself or the jelly
that
you don't like?
I don't like
it. You don't like
it.
The mixture?
I love peanuts. I eat peanuts all the time. I just don't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh.
Well, that's amazing. My gosh.
Oh, then we had potato chips. I think Red Dot.
Red Dot.
Was big.
Jay's. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to really worry about, our kids get being husky or overweight because
look at our
activities. We were constantly on the run or on the walk.
Everything outside.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Such wonderful, pleasant memories that we have, even
of
winter.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe not today as much, but going back 50, 60, 70 years are very pleasant memories.
And Carol loved winter so much she's leaving for Arizona now to get away from the winter.
But I should have gone earlier because we could obviously see. I stayed for this, Don.
So you're a snowbird, huh?
Yeah, I am. A little bit back and forth, but I am. So.
Well, you stayed for the cold weather. And it's going to get warmer by next week. So.
Stay for this program.
You guys are so good to have here. I love it. Jim Basir and Carol Gianforte. Carol's got a book out we're going to read called My Heart Leads Me Home. Is that you and your dad on the cover?
That is.
Oh, what a lovely picture.
Yeah, I love that picture.
Oh, it is.
But it's already from about 7-8 years ago.
I don't care. It's new to me.
One book to my name, but...
You're a published author. That's all that matters. Thank you guys very much. Jim, you're going to be at Solo next time. And
yes.
Carol, you're going to be in Arizona under the sun.
Uh-huh.
Baking in the hot Arizona sun. Thank you guys very much for coming in, by the way.
Our
thank
pleasure,
Don. Thank you for giving us
our
this chance. And Don, thank you for doing what you do for our whole community.
Well, you're very welcome. Coming up tomorrow, Keith Fair is going to be here, one of the first candidate we're going to have in, talking about what he's going to do in the 4th Congressional District. If you vote for him, that's coming up tomorrow at WRJN. I'm Don Rosen, 7:59. Stay where you are.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial.
Yeah!
And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Bucks and Packer fans, listen up. Your smiles are in for a winning treatment at Dr. Stephen W. Campbell's office at 3801 Monarch Drive in Racine. Just like your favorite teams dominate the field, Dr. Campbell excels in dental care, and your winning grin is his top priority. Whether you're cheering for the Bucks or celebrating a Packers victory, make sure your smile is game day ready. Call Dr. Stephen W. Campbell at 262-432-9529, where your winning smile is always in season.
WRJN. Your home for the Packers. 1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.